Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
I have good news for some of you this morning because I'm going to answer a question that you may never have expressed, but I expect you've thought of. And I am hoping that when you go home today, some of you are going to walk home more free than when you walked in. This morning I want to speak about relational problems, breakdowns, hurts, family relationships, friendships, marriage, siblings. All close relationships are going to experience some breakdowns, some hurts, some problems, which means all relationships are going to require forgiveness. Forgiveness is a major theme in the New Testament. God forgives us. We're to forgive others. We're even to forgive ourselves. And real followers of Jesus are forgiving people. We have read the Word of God. We have heard what the Bible says about forgiveness. And we want to forgive. We do forgive. But it's not often easy. And sometimes, after we forgive, we're uncertain where we go from there. So the first passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. These are Jesus' words, some of Jesus' words, regarding forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6 is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Some of the most extensive teaching that Jesus gave as to how we as followers, His followers, are supposed to act. This is His teaching regarding prayer. It is where we get the passage that we call the Lord's Prayer. Would you follow along in your Bibles, electronic or old school like mine? I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, so when we actually read the portion called the Lord's Prayer, it's probably not the way some of us memorized it. But follow along starting in verse number 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth that that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Catch something in this passage. There is a reward for prayer. Now, it's not specific. Prayer has with it rewards. If you pray properly, there's a reward. But he was saying if you pray improperly, like the Pharisees or those who pray publicly, that's all the reward they're going to get. There's a reward for praying. We have a statement here that I picked up many, many decades ago from another man. Something happens when you pray that doesn't happen when you don't. Prayer makes a difference, but prayer also has rewards attached. Picking up now in verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on, as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'd actually like us to pray this prayer using the traditional language. Would you stand, please, where you are? The words are on the screen. Many of you, most of you, maybe all of you have this memorized. But I'd like us to pray this out loud this morning. There's a purpose for this. But would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have heard the words of our lips this morning. We have prayed these words. Something happens when we pray that doesn't happen when we don't. I pray that you would make every single word that we have expressed real this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Did you know that this morning, when I had you pray that prayer, you made an agreement with God regarding how you want Him to treat you? In verse number 12, you prayed, using the traditional, you prayed about trespasses. In this version, it translates that word sins. And forgive us our sins as we have. Past tense. Not as we will. As we have forgiven those who sin against us. And then Jesus actually comments on this verse of the prayer in verse 14 and 15 where he said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Every time that you pray the Lord's Prayer, you ask God to treat you in forgiveness as you have already treated others in forgiving them. That's pretty sobering. And then Jesus comments on it that as you have forgiven those who have sinned against you, injured you, harmed you in some way, as you have forgiven them, that's how your Father forgives you. Now, some have preached that this means if you don't forgive, you're not getting into heaven. You get into heaven because it's by grace. So if you don't forgive and you've opened your heart to Jesus Christ, heaven is still your home. So, well then, what about this forgiveness that Jesus isn't going to offer us or that the Father is not going to offer us? It has to do with right now on earth. Do you know when you don't forgive, you open your life up to all kinds of negative things to come against you? Because you are not following what the Lord has done for you. You will live at a lower level. You will live with the attack of the enemy. The Lord wants to forgive you as you have forgiven others, not regarding your salvation or going to heaven, regarding your ability to live free here on planet Earth. And you have actually asked Him to treat you that way. You have said, Lord, treat me the way I have treated others. I give you permission. In fact, I pray. I ask you, Lord, forgive me my sins as I have forgiven others. Some of you are walking around with so much burden on your life, with so much junk coming against you. And some of it is traced back to the point that Jesus said, if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And therefore, you have opened your heart up. Very negative things. It has nothing to do with you going to heaven, but it has everything to do with how life will be lived here on planet Earth. I say that because some of you need to start forgiving today. Remember, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Jesus spoke much about forgiveness. Peter asked the question, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who harms me? You know, Rob and I, we have a really dicey relationship. Actually, we don't, so that's why I can use him. We have a dicey relationship. I am constantly grating on Rob. Constantly grating on Rob. So one day he went to one of our board members and said, how often do I have to forgive Pastor Rick? It's already been like 1,000 times. And the board member quoting Jesus would say, well, 70 times 7, unlimited. Oh, and by the way, the implication is 70 times 7 today. So if I've only done it 1,000, 7, you know, that's only been 2 days worth of forgiveness, basically. Jesus is adamant about forgiveness because the lack of forgiveness injures you. The lack of forgiveness, the choice that you make not to forgive, opens things in your life you don't want to have happening. And I talk about this morning, I'm emphasizing that because forgiveness is not always easy. Some of you have been wounded deeply. You have been rejected. You have been betrayed. You have been lied to. You have had people that were close to you all of a sudden leave you. They have left you with mounds of debt. All kinds of things have taken place. And the Bible says now you need to forgive them. And you do. Now, I've been preaching well over 35 years. Been a believer over 40 years. I have preached on forgiveness. I've taught on forgiveness. I've taught on this passage. I've taught on other passages multiple times. And virtually every time that I preach about it, especially when I get as emphatic as I was today about forgiveness in your life, and people desire to forgive, but they tend to have questions. Questions about forgiveness. Questions like these that I've gotten over the years. Pastor, people have hurt me. And they say they are sorry, but then they hurt me again and again and again. How often do I have to keep turning the other cheek? Another question, what do I do after I forgive? How do I begin now to relate to that person who hurt me? I can't even be in the same room with them because of what they did. Let alone, I don't want them back in my life. Other questions I've gotten are like this. I've heard that I don't have to forgive if they don't ask. Is that correct? Or a question like this. I don't think I can ever believe or trust that person again. Is that wrong? Is that sin? So today we're going to talk about relationships and forgiveness and trust. And I'm going to take many of the questions that people have had, and I'm going to put them into one question. I said, this is going to be a question you may never have articulated, but you might have thought about, and this question this morning is going to help you. If you're taking notes, write this question down. Here it is. Question, if I forgive them, do I have to trust them? That's the question I want to deal with. We know we need to forgive. Many of us live the way that Jesus asked us to, and we forgive. Rob's been forgiving me time and time and time and time and time and time again. But does Rob have to trust me? He's forgiven me. Does he have to trust me? That's the question. Those are two very different things this morning. There's a man by the name of Ben, and he really tried to help out a new believer called Mark. I've changed the names. This is basically a true story, one that 40 years ago I watched play out. Mark got saved, and he was now attending church in small group. He was kind of really rough around the edges. In fact, he was really rough around the edges. But he got a job, and Jesus had really transformed his life. And he needed to get a reliable car because the one he was driving was a piece of junk. He needed to get back and forth to his job. So Mark found a car, and he went to the local financial institution, the bank, to see about getting a loan. And the bank said, no loan, unless you find a cosigner. No loan. His credit was shot, and there must have been things on his credit report. So Mark went to his family and said, hey, would you co-sign for me? And they all said no, he'd been burned. But Mark was a believer, and I says, no, I've got Jesus in my heart. I've got Jesus in my life. I've got this job. I'll pay you back. Would you co-sign for me? And the family said no. So Mark and Ben were talking, and Mark very humbly said, "Ben, I need a co-signer to get a car. I need to be able to get back and forth to work. My old one's not going to make it. Ben, would you co-sign this loan for me?" Ben thought about it. He prayed about it. He knew it was a risk, but he'd been watching Mark grow, and he thought, as a believer, I want to help this guy out. I want him to see how the family of God acts. I want his extended family to see how the family of God acts. And so Ben went with him to the bank and signed the loan. Wasn't a huge amount of money, but still, a couple $3,000. And Mark got his car. Mark was ecstatic. He drove that car to and from work, maintained his job, plugged into the church, plugged into the small group. Everything really went well for about 3 months. Then Mark started to get a little infrequent in small group, a little infrequent in church. And about 3 months after that, the bank calls Ben. "Hey, Ben, you're a co-signer on this note. Do you know it hasn't been paid on in 3 months?" And Ben said, "No, I hadn't heard. You mean Mark's not making his payments?" "Well, he did at first, but now he's not making them. Do you have any idea where Mark is?" And he said, "Well, I'll try and track him down." So Ben tracked Mark down. He said, "Hey, what's going on?" "Oh, it's just gotten a little tough right now. I'll get on top of that. Don't worry about it. I'll pay." Mark called the bank back, gave the bank the information, Ben called the bank back, gave them the information as to where Mark was. Another month goes by, second month goes by, bank calls again. "Hey, we haven't got any more money. It's now 5 months past due. You will have to make payments." So Ben started paying on the loan. He brought all five of the payments up to date. Tried to find Mark, couldn't find Mark. Every month he would call the bank. "Did Mark make a payment?" "Nope." "Here's the payment." "Did Mark make a payment?" "Nope." "Here's the payment." Ben paid off Mark's loan. 2 years later, Mark is once again back on fire for Jesus. He'd kind of gotten off the beaten path. He'd kind of gone his own way. Now he's back on fire for Jesus. Shows back up at the same church. Gets really plugged in on Sunday morning. Starts going to a group. And guess what? Ben's still around. Mark never really said much to Ben. Said, "I'm so sorry about that loan. You know, I'm going to try and make it good someday. You probably had to pay it off." "Yeah." 3-4 months go by, and Mark is in need again. Not of a car this time, just $300. Just $300. So he goes up to Ben, and he says, "Ben, I mean, I know you have a good job. I'm struggling right now. Could you help me out? It's just $300. Mark was forgiven by Ben for not paying the loan, for not keeping his word. Mark was forgiven, but should Ben trust him with another loan? He's trying to follow Jesus. He's got his life back together. Don't we believe in people? That's why we're dealing with this question. Those are the things that we wonder about. If I forgive them, do I have to trust them? Do you have to trust your kid who has been bleeding you, and they always promise they're going to get their life back together, and you forgive them? They're making poor decisions. They're not living their life right. They seem to get out on their own for a while, then they're back home. "Oh, can you just put me up for a few months?" Do you trust them? You've forgiven them, but do you trust them? That's the question. See, some of us grew up in families and with friendships where people did not take advantage of people, where people worked out their issues well, where there was relative peace and harmony. And if you grew up in an atmosphere like that, you are blessed, and some of what I'm talking about this morning won't apply to you. However, other people grew up in families where hurt, betrayal, dysfunction, manipulation, and many other issues were the norm with one or several family members. Dating relationships and marriages where cheating was the norm, lying, deception, or abuse took place. Parents who have children who take advantage of them again and again, or children who have parents who make promises over and over and over again, only to have a majority of those promises broken. Now add in that you are, or you have recently become a follower of Jesus Christ. You know He loves you. He's changed your life. You're not the same. And you're attempting now to follow Him with all your heart. You want to love these people? You want them to come to know Jesus? You have learned about forgiveness, so you have forgiven them again and again. But they still do it again. How do you handle that? You've forgiven them. Do you trust them? Now, before I answer the question, we will answer this question this morning. I want to have everybody listen up, because some people have been taught or they have come to believe that when I forgive, things are supposed to immediately go back to the way they were. Your spouse is cheated. You have forgiven your spouse. You're supposed to immediately embrace and let them back into your house, into your heart, and into your bed. That's the way some people have been taught. When you forgive, it's just as if this has never happened. That's what some have been taught, or what we've come to believe because of the emphasis that the Scripture places on the need for us to forgive. But please understand, forgiveness and trust are two different things. They're two different things. Okay, in the situation I just talked about, that everything goes back the way it was because you have forgiven. I'm going to make this statement. It's not in your notes. It's not going to come up on the screen. But listen to this. When you forgive, everything goes back the way that it was is neither wise nor biblical. When you forgive, everything going back to the way that it was before is neither wise nor biblical. And I will explain that partially this week and partially next week. I'm going to finish this next week. We're only going to go so far this week, Mother's Day and all the other things. And you guys know that I can never finish anything in 1 week. I mean, it's just, especially a week like today, messed up the coffee, tripped up the stairs, at least I wasn't the only one who had trouble. You couldn't pronounce that word. Again, just like you say, you say it with confidence. It doesn't matter how you pronounce it. Everybody will think you know the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever it is. But all right. Answering the question, if I forgive them, do I have to trust them? This is the heart of today's teaching. Here comes the answer. If I forgive them, do I have to trust them? The answer is yes. I have to forgive them. No, I do not have to immediately trust them. Yes, I have to forgive them. Why? Jesus said so. Why? The New Testament teaches it from the Gospel of Matthew to the book of Revelation. And next week we're going to look at some passages from Colossians and Ephesians and Romans where it talks about forgiveness and how we handle people. The answer is yes, I have to forgive them. Jesus said it. You prayed it this morning. I know I set you up when I had you pray that prayer out loud. And then I prayed. Now, Jesus, answer every single word that we prayed. I set you up to make a point that, yes, you do. You have to forgive. It doesn't matter how egregious, isn't that a great word? How egregious the offense. Zach, we were talking about big words in class. Egregious, you can look that one up and then tell me what it meant, okay? Spell it out for you. I'd have to have my phone because I'm not sure. It may have been betrayal. It may have been a divorce. It may have been abuse. It could have been deception. It could have been a string of broken promises. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. In fact, you should want to forgive. I don't claim it's easy. You forgive when it's hard. You forgive when it's repeated. You forgive. But no, you do not have to immediately trust them. It doesn't go back the way that it was. Next point coming up. Forgiveness is letting go of the past. Trust has to do with the future. Trust has to do with the future. Guys, there's a quote up top there by Pastor Rick Warren. It's one of the last slides. Could you bring that quote up for me, please, as I begin to wind this down this morning? Pastor Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, said this: forgiveness must be immediate, whether or not the person asks for it. Trust must be rebuilt over time. Trust requires a track record. If someone hurts you repeatedly, you are commanded by God to forgive them instantly. But you are not expected to trust them immediately, and you are not expected to continue to allow them to hurt you. It was a woman who is married now several months. And the argument escalated significantly. And for the first time, either in their dating relationship or their marriage relationship, she felt a hand across her face. Hard. It left a welt. It left a mark. And as soon as it happened, her husband wept. Wept in front of her. I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry. I mean, it's been so stressed at work and all this goes on. I mean, he is broken. She has never seen him this broken before. Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I will never, ever, ever, ever do it again. And she did. And she put ice on and extra makeup the next day. Things seemed fine. Until 3.5 weeks later, things are still rough at work for him. He shoves her into a wall. And again, same reaction. He is absolutely broken. Weeping. Confessing. Forgive me. Oh, you're the most important person in my life. As the tears stream down his face. She forgives, which she's a follower of Jesus. She needs to do. And she believes him. And she trusts him. I'm not saying that was right or wrong. Until it happened the third time. This time it's a black eye. Bruises from where he grabbed her. And she said, I'm going home. I'm going to live with mom. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. He begs and he begs and he begs and he begs and he begs. She says, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. It won't. I promise. I swear. I'll go to church with you. I swear. She says, no, I've got to get out. I've got to get out. And then the interesting thing starts to happen. She's already feeling guilty about the decision that she makes. And then he starts, well, you call yourself a Christian. I thought Christians are supposed to forgive. Well, I don't think this is much forgiving. You mean you're just going to leave me here? Remember, forgiveness and trust are two different things. You forgive immediately. You forgive consistently. But trust has to be earned. talk more about these type of stories next week as to how we work through them. Would you go back to the answer, please, as I reiterate that? The answer to the question, if I forgive them, do I have to trust them? And the answer is yes, I have to forgive them, but no, I do not have to immediately trust them. Forgiveness is letting go of the past. Trust has to do with your future. As the team comes up to the stage, as we begin to wind this service down this morning, we're going to have some time where we can spend before the Lord in worship, and also we're going to be opening the front for prayer. This morning I want to talk to a couple of groups of people. The first is someone here who walked in this morning and you have a situation or maybe a multitude of situations that it has been so difficult for you to forgive. Or, as I was teasing Rob, you know, you forgive and you forgive and you forgive and they keep doing it over and over and over and over again. And you're just tired of forgiving. Do you still forgive? Yes. Some of you, as I said, the situation that you are walking through is so hurtful to you that it almost seems like it's wrong for you to forgive. Because they didn't just hurt you. They hurt others. They hurt people that you loved. Sometimes it's easy to forgive when it was you, but when they hurt your loved ones, when they've hurt your kids, moms, you understand, when they have hurt your kids, to forgive just seems wrong. The Bible says we need to forgive. So this morning, some of you may need to forgive. I don't feel like it. I feel no warm feelings for them to forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision of your will. And sometimes you make the decision over and over and over again. Maybe the feelings come, maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. You need to forgive. And during this song that we're going to be singing where God is our strength and He is here, you may want to reach out to Him in prayer as we're singing this song and say, God, I know I need to forgive. Help me. And if you have to forgive through clenched teeth, forgive. Another broad group of people. Probably maybe a smaller group, I don't know. To stop trusting people who hurt you and harm you, sometimes it's very, very tough. And it's going to take courage for you to say no more. No more. No more. It's going to take courage for you because it's going to radically change your life. This morning, you may need to pray for courage. Courage to stand up and to stop trusting, to stop letting in that or those individuals who are taking advantage of you, hurting you. It's time. If you forgive them, do you have to trust them? No, not immediately. Next week, we'll talk about, well, is that ever always going to be the case? No, it should not be. But sometimes it is, depending on the relationship. And we'll get into some of these details next week. But this week, if you need help in forgiving, cry out to God and say, I just need help. And then make a decision of your will. Speak the words, I forgive. Doesn't matter if you feel it, I forgive. If you need courage or the ability to stand up, pray for that also. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to sing the song Waymaker again, because some of you need Him to make a way for you. Some of you need Him to be a miracle worker. Some of you need for Him to be a light in the darkness. You're walking through a dark time. He's a promise keeper. He will keep His promises. Lord Jesus, today, as we take some time now to be in Your presence, Holy Spirit, work. Work in our midst. For the one who just is wrestling with forgiving, may they make the decision to forgive. For the one who didn't know they needed to forgive because it wasn't asked for, may they begin the process of forgiving. And for those who have been hurt again and again and again and who need to finally say, no more. I pray that there would be a spirit of courage that would come into their heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.